Geek Radio Daily for Anti-Friday.
Yep.
It's all right, though. We'll get through it. It'll be fine. And then another, you know, finally Frackin' Friday roll around, and we'll play more Jackbox. And thank you, everybody, for showing up for the Jackbox game on Friday night. Woo!
Super fun.
Good time singing, dancing, instant jigs. I mean, the pictures. Oh, we will never forget those pictures. Welcome to the 20th of July. We are the fine folks from GeekRadioDaily.com. You know us from all the various places you do, such as, you know, playing the aforementioned Jackbox, which is the kind of thing it is. And you have
and if you don't want to play, you can watch on Twitch.
Twitch.tv/GRD_Flynn. It's fantastic. OSI files, all that stuff got moved to next week. We'll talk about that later. Folks, bringing it to you, that there's the Flinstress.
If we're going to have any kind of fun together, you guys had better loosen up.
Easiest way. Hi, everyone. I'm the wonderful Billy Flynn.
Hey, kids. Did you miss me?
I hope so. What happened this fine day, yo?
Well, back in 1872, the U.S. Patent Office awards the first patent for wireless telegraphy to Mahlon Lewis.
1903, the Ford Motor Company ships its first car.
In 1960, Siramavo Bandaranaike is elected to the Prime Minister of Ceylon, becoming the world's first elected female head of state.
1960, same day, same year, the USSR recovers two dogs, the first living organisms to successfully return from space alive.
1966, Gemini 10 becomes the first spacecraft in history to make multiple rendezvous with other spacecrafts while in orbit, the Agena 10 and the Agena 8.
1969, Apollo 11 lands on the moon at 9:18 GMT, 4:18 Eastern. On the Sea of Tranquility, transmitting the message, Houston Tranquility Base here, the Eagle has landed. 6.5 hours later, Neil Armstrong becomes the first man to walk on the moon, followed by Edwin Buzz Aldrin. Before returning to the command module, the astronauts leave behind a plaque inscribed with the words, "Here, men from the planet Earth first set foot on the moon, July 1969. We came in peace for all mankind." I miss those days.
Right. In 1976, the NASA Viking 1 lander, launched on August 20th, 1975, made its successful first ever landing on Mars at Crissae Planitia and began transmitting pictures. Later, a robot arm that can scoop up samples of materials and deposit them onto onboard experiments will investigate hints of life on Mars.
1977, the CIA releases documents under the Freedom of Information Act revealing the agency had engaged in mind control experiments.
Oh, is that the men that stared at goats?
That's them.
Oh, 1984, 20th Century Fox releases the comedy-filled Revenge of the Nerds, directed by Jeff Canoe and starring Robert Carradine, Anthony Edwards, Timothy Busfield, Curtis Armstrong, Ted McGinley, Bernie Casey, and John Goodman.
Hey, you know, most of that still stands up pretty well. Same day, same year, Warner Brothers releases The Neverending Story, directed by Wolfgang Peterson, starring Noah Hathaway, Barrett Oliver, and a lot of people. Moses Gunn's even in that. Gerald McRaney, everyone forgets he's there.
It's a great movie. Scarred me for life. Atreyu in the Mud. Woo. 94, the comet Shoemaker-Levy 9 fragment Q1 impacts the surface of the planet Jupiter, leaving visible impact scars.
1995, John O'Neill, the CFO of Hasbro, announces that they've scrapped their work on a virtual reality game after 3 years and $59 million in R&D. They determined the cost to the consumer would be far more than the target price of $300.
Maybe just a couple of years too soon.
A little bit.
99, DreamWorks releases the horror film The Haunting, directed by Jan DeBont and starring Lily Taylor, Catherine Zeta-Jones, Owen Wilson, and Liam Neeson.
Do not ever watch this. Just watch The Haunting of Hill House on Netflix. Same day, same year, President Bill Clinton signs legislation into law to protect companies against possible lawsuits related to Y2K computer breakdowns.
Whoa.
Experts predicted litigation costs could exceed $1 trillion if controls and limitations were not enacted.
Well, because nobody knew to do four-digit years. It was everybody was doing the same thing. 1999, Universal Studios releases a sci-fi film, Virus, directed by John Bruno, starring Jamie Lee Curtis, William Baldwin, Donald Sutherland, Joanna Pacula, Marshall Bell, Sherman Augustus, and Cliff Curtis. The film is based on a Dark Horse comic book by the same name by Chuck Pfeffer.
2001, Sega Corporation announces plans to transfer its SegaNet subscribers to a comparable Earthlink service, which made me leave because I left Earthlink to go to Sega.
In 2005, after coming under heavy fire from many politicians, most notably from Hillary Clinton, the Entertainment Software Rating Board re-rates Grand Theft Auto San Andreas adults only 18+ due to the sexually explicit minigame mode Hot Coffee. The game was previously only rated M for mature.
If they had left it in there, that would have made sense. Same day, same year, to honor the 36th anniversary of the Apollo 11 moon landing, Google makes public domain imagery from NASA of the moon available in the Google Maps interface, a tool called Google Moon. So Google mooned you. Birthdays?
Juno Temple is 31 from Year One, Dark Knight Rises, Sin City, Dame to Kill For.
Charlie Cosmo is 42 from Dick Tracy, Can't Hardly Wait.
I can't feel my legs. Judy Greer is 45. That's Kitty from Arrested Development, Jurassic Park 3, Ant-Man, and Cheryl on Archer.
Omar Epps is 47 from Major League 2, Scream 2, ER, and House.
Not ER 2.
Nope.
Josh Holloway is 51. That's Sawyer from Lost. He was in Intelligence and Colony.
Dean Winters is 56 from Hellraiser, Hellseeker, John Wick, and Turtles Out of the Shadows.
Frank Whaley is 57. That's Brad from Pulp Fiction, Career Opportunities, and Swimming with Sharks.
Carlos Alrazaki is 62. That's Rocco in Rocco's Modern Life, the Taco Bell Chihuahua, and Mr. Weed on Family Guy.
Donna Dixon is 63 from Bosom Buddies, Dr. Detroit, Spies Like Us, and Wayne's World.
Jeff Rawl is 69. Amos Diggory in the Harry Potter series, The Sarah Jane Adventures, Adventures in Time and Space.
Muse Watson is 72 from I Know What You Did Last Summer, Austin Powers 2, and Charles on Prison Break.
Diana Rigg is 82. Mrs. Peel in the Avengers, James Bond's wife in On Her Majesty's Secret Service, she was Tracy, and Olenia Tyrell in Game of Thrones.
Sally Ann House is 90, truly scrumptious in Chitty Chitty Bang Bang.
No longer with us, born in state in 1938, Natalie Wood from Rebel Without a Cause, West Side Story, Brainstorm.
Born in 1943, Wendy Richard, Miss Brahms in Are You Being Served, and Pauline in EastEnders.
And in 1958, Billy Mays! But wait!
There's more. Well, on TV tonight on CBS, we get a rerun of The Neighborhood, and a rerun of Bob Hart's Abishola, and a rerun of All Rise, and a rerun of Bull.
ABC, it's Brad Womack on Bachelor, the greatest seasons ever.
Okay. NBC, East Region 2, a surprise for Dwayne on new The Titan Games, a rerun of The Wall, and then Dayline NBC.
Fox has a rerun of 911 and a rerun of 911 Lone Star.
CW has a new Who's Line, a rerun of Who's Line, and then Watermelon Surgery on the new Penn & Teller Fool Us.
Huh. Freeform will be showing Cars 3, because, you know.
Sure. AMC has Lethal Weapon 2.
That's pretty funny. Bravo's got a new Below Deck Mediterranean, where I'm sure hijinks are ensuing like mad.
FX has The Greatest Showman.
FXX, The Simpsons Marathon. You got your little Saddlesore Galactica. I can't talk. Missionary Impossible.
FXM showing Maze Runner, The Death Cure.
What exactly would the cure for death be?
Vitamins.
Oh, okay. Any particular, like an all-in-one? Or
yep, a multivitamin.
Is vitamin D for death or again? Sundance Channel will be showing Batman, followed by Batman Forever, skipping Batman Returns for reasons I cannot understand in the slightest.
Sci-Fi has Spider-Man 3. Oh, is that the one with the black hair, Tobey Maguire?
Yes.
Oh.
Yes, it is. That's kind of, you know, I'm in retrospect today. TBS, Klaus invites Stan, Roger, and Jeff to accompany him on a weekend trip that includes an out-of-control bachelor party on
New
American Dad.
TNT, Avengers, Weekend of Ultron.
Science Channel, How the Universe Works.
On True TV, Blended.
USA WWE Monday Night Raw.
VH1 has The Other Side of the Pond on the new Black Ink Crew.
We're
Chicago.
Watching the Lifetime Movie Network. An investigation is launched into the disappearance of a man's wife and two daughters. But when he fails to pass the lie detector test, a shocking truth is brought to light. Whoa. As his charming life comes crashing down on the public eye. Sean Clear and Ashley Williams, starring Chris Watts. Confessions of a Killer.
The wonderful Billy Flynn looks at what Chad and Abby are up to now. If you know what TV show they're on this week, you could win yourself a prize. It's your Further Adventures of Chad and Abby update. Cat burglar extraordinaire Chad is offered a fantastic deal. Get paroled from prison by a special agency headed by Stefan and work for the U.S. government to steal for them when they want something stolen. Wait, for the government? Not from the government? Congrats, Chad. The government looked at your job and said, let's make it legal. Chad is reluctant, but the government has a little heart-to-heart with him and says all you need is hope and faith. Hashtag Chabby forever.
Looks like you've got mail waiting.
Indeed we do. Hello, GRD. For once, I finally know one of these because I watched every single episode of Burning Love.
Oh, yeah.
That is exactly where they are because I knew there was no way in the world you would actually do The Bachelor as much as you make fun of it. Thanks for making mornings fun. That's from Oliver. Well, Oliver, you're absolutely right, and you are in the running, which means, of course, we now have a new week that has just started, which will be interesting since at the end of this week, we're going to be on a break for 2 weeks. So you've got a lot of time to think about this one, which is good because we made it difficult. But if you've got any idea, drop a note. It's podcast@geekradiodaily.com, or, of course, tell us by voicemail, tell us by text. Just use the magic numbers of
510-GRD-CROW.
It's a puzzler.
Okay, so here's the elevator pitch, guys. The joy of gaming. a podcast about only the latest and greatest video game releases.
I'm not just going to talk about AAA games.
Yeah, we got to talk about retro games, indie games, XBLA, everything, man.
Okay, okay. The Joy of Gaming, a podcast about games, past, present, and indie.
But we can't just talk about the games either. We have to talk about the culture and the fans.
Yeah, and the politics, the studies, and the people around the games.
So basically, it's a podcast about everything.
Not everything. This is a podcast about all genres of games.
It's a podcast about the stories behind the games.
This is The Joy of Gaming. You can find The Joy of Gaming podcast at thejoyofgaming.com, on podbean.com, and on the iTunes Store. The Joy of Gaming podcast, having fun playing video games since 2011.
This is Gareth David Lloyd from Torchwood, and this is Geek Radio Daily.
Indeed it is. Mm-hmm. It's also known as a safe space for everyone that might need such a thing.
Okay, give me your all.
Warriors, unsheath your weapons. Magic wielders, raise your wands.
Let me check my polyhedral dice. Turns out I have frost giant strength. Look it up.
You can look it up all kinds of things, because there's new stuff out to learn, such as...
So long ago, in the heroic age, wizards and warriors went on adventures, killed orcs and dragons, found treasure and saved maidens. Ah! But then, a revolution occurred. Not a revolution led by usurpers or valiant rebels. Rather, a revolution driven by a change in the practice of magic. Wizards discovered how to make order from the chaos of magic. Magic's no longer an art, it's a technique. Magic technology is systematized, homogenized, and commoditized. This change in practice brought untold wealth to the magnates of the magic industry. It revolutionized the ways of war and the ways of production. It even brought immortality to those who could afford it, and it introduced methods of unprecedented social control. The proponents of this new practice of magic were called the rationalizers. The current epoch is called the Age of the Rationalization. So this is the Rational Magic campaign from Sons of the Singularity.
One cannot see them. One cannot hear them. One cannot run from them. Together, you must survive them. Survival of the Able is a tabletop RPG about people with disabilities overcoming a zombie apocalypse.
Nice.
In this game, you'll play as a person with a disability living in a medieval Western European almshouse when the Black Death comes to your village. Those who die of the plague are rising again as zombies, and they're hungry for flesh. Do you have what it takes to survive? Find out in Survival of the Able Ashcan from Accessible Games.
Well, long ago, when the Masters of the Wind ruled, what did they fear? They had armies of enslaved servants, amazing technology, and the ability to harness unlimited potential. Nothing should have frightened them, but something did. An enemy so terrifying that the Masters refused to even record the identity of their foe. This nameless enemy haunted the Masters, driving them to create new weapons to fight it. The Masters built a flying fortress to conceal and protect these weapons until they needed them. Then, the Masters perished, never having activated their defenses. Perhaps their unnamed enemy passed on as well. Perhaps the enemy never even existed, save for as a delusion born from the Master's paranoia. The legacy of the Masters has returned to threaten the present, and a lone crew of Explorer Knights must fight the cult and defeat three organic weapons, three beasts, before the kingdom in the light are reduced to rubble. That's Upwind, Three Beasts from Nocturnal Media.
They say Irsodiel the Mad was the greatest mind to have ever breached the great cosmic void, that he looked beyond the myriad stars in the blackest depths of the hells into the swirling magical photoplasmic morass that is the beginning and end of everything, when they found his corpse so hideously changed that drove those who saw it to madness and despair. Fearful, they entombed him in the crypt of his forebears and sealed it tight, but little did they know that he brought back something with him from his cosmic journey, and it is hungry.
Uh-oh.
You got an old-school style adventure primarily designed for use with old-school essentials and other iterations of the basic expert rules for original fantasy role-playing games, a dungeon, crawling adventure of cosmic horror for characters of second to fourth level, its ominous crypt of the Blood Moss from One Eye Romantic Press, this and more, all available at Drive-Thru RPG.
I'm not wearing any pants. Film at 11.
Geek News! Take a look at the world. From a quick, geeky point of view, the show that captivated the nation in the early days of the pandemic is being sued.
Captivated? Wait, okay, so nothing on Quibi. Oh, I almost forgot about Tiger King.
Hollywood Weekly Magazine is suing Netflix, CBS Studios, Paramount, and Imagine Television for a host of claims including trademark and copyright infringement, unfair business practices, and unjust enrichment. The publication says it owns the Tiger King trademark, and its unwanted association with the series is injuring its reputation. It's seeking not only damages and disgorgement of profits, but also the destruction of the series and all related advertising.
Wow. But We will still get the Nick Cage and Kate McKinnon TV series version, though, right?
Hopefully. Now, according to their complaint, it's distributed in 300 locations across the U.S. and another 210 countries. The magazine claims it coined the phrase Tiger King in reference to Joe Exotic in 2013. That nickname was exclusively used in connection with profiles on their series, though they did not file a trademark for it until July 2nd.
Mm-hmm, which shows how much they thought of the name before then.
The magazine says it adheres to a strict no-gossip policy and has spent 20 years building a wholesome brand. Recently, after the series was distributed for streaming, plaintiffs for the first time were receiving comments from advertisers as to when they became a tabloid gossip magazine, when the fundamental pillar is and always has been no gossip, strictly entertainment, and always highly respected and well-known for the brand, writes attorney Michael F. Frank. Beyond the references to the Tiger King, the magazine is unhappy that its publication was physically displayed in the series.
Oh, just when I thought this was frivolous.
Now, the magazine claims its advertisers have wanted to stop doing business with it because of the very easily plausible and obvious connection with a tawdry television program.
Only tawdry magazines, thank you.
Netflix has not commented on the suit, and CBS Studios and Imagine have declined to comment, but rumor has it, Carol Baskins has been sent to have a word with them.
Well, in cool news, Keanu Reeves is getting into the comic book world, with the actor co-writing the 12-issue Berserker, but spelled B-R-Z-R-K-R, a comic featuring a main character that looks exactly like him.
Well, it is an autobiography, about the time of Love Among Freaks. I love you, Kevin Smith!
The hyper-violent action comic follows a half-mortal, half-god who has been wandering the Earth for centuries and gets recruited by the U.S. government to go on top-secret missions considered too violent and too dangerous for anyone else. He is cursed and compelled to violence, even at the sacrifice of his sanity.
Roland Emmerich's Hercules?
Matt Kent also co-wrote the miniseries for Boom Studios, the same company that publishes an ongoing Bill and Ted comic book series. Also working on the title are artist Alessandro Vitti, color artist Bill Crabtree, letterer Clem Robbins, and conceptual cover artist Raphael Grandpa.
Raphael's grandpa's doing this?
My love for you is like a ticking clock. Berserker!
Best-selling author James Patterson has signed on to bring back the classic pulp-era crime fighter, The Shadow, as part of a new series of original novel properties for Hatchett's Little Brown imprint with potential for movie adaptations.
James Patterson knows what evil lurks in the heart of men.
The Shadow is a mysterious figure who combats crime through a network of agents. His unbending approach to justice, penchant for costumes and dramatic escapes, colorful rogues gallery, high-tech arsenal, made him the template for generations of mass vigilantes, most noticeably Batman, who debuted in 39 when The Shadow was at the peak of his popularity on radio with Orson Welles. The character's last high-profile appearance was the 1994 feature film starring Alec Baldwin and John Lone.
The world wasn't ready for Jonathan Winters in a serious role.
It was so weird. Who can forget The Shadow's historic tagline? Who knows what evil lurks in the hearts of men, said Patterson. Well, The Shadow knows, and soon readers will know. I've long been a fan of The Shadow, and I'm looking forward to bringing this legendary character into the modern age.
Modern? A 21st century Shadow?
Yes. A pulp noir legend is being redone for an age where the evil of everyone's hearts is displayed on their social media pages daily.
Mm-hmm.
And though Patterson can tell a ripping yarn, one can't help but feel that the weed of this crime will bear bitter fruit.
Yep. Well, the very popular Walking Dead comic ended about a year ago. We all know that. There is a Negan one-shot to help keep the world alive. But to keep that walking dollar coming, series creator Robert Kirkman announced the entirety of The Walking Dead will be re-released in color with special bonus content.
Well, like what? Adaptations of Talking Dead?
Announced during the Skybound Past, Present, and Future panel at Skybound Expo, the colorized version of The Walking Dead will begin releasing on October 7th. Colored by Dave McKaig, he did Adam Strange and X-Men. The series will feature variant covers by David Finch, who did Batman the Dark Knight, New Avengers, Tony Moore, the Exterminator's Fear Agent, Julian Totino Tedesco from Iron Man Invincible Origins and Hawkeye, and Arthur Adams, Longshot and the Uncanny X-Men, to mark the introduction of new characters and plot twists.
Spoiler variants?
Each installment of the reissued The Walking Dead will also feature the cutting room floor. The press release for the series described this content as Kirkman's original handwritten plot, along with commentary on abandoned storylines and plot points that may have changed along the way. The press release also notes that the colorized The Walking Dead will not be collected into trade paperbacks anytime soon.
The cutting room floor. That's our bit, Kirkman! God, I got to trademark that.
The Walking Dead debuted in 2003 and ran for 193 issues before ending abruptly in 2019. The comic, which was originally drawn by Tony Moore before Charlie Adlard took over, was extremely well received and launched a major media franchise. A TV adaptation of the comic, also titled The Walking Dead, premiered in 2010. Since then, there have been various other TV spinoffs and video games, with live-action movies centered around protagonist Rick Grimes currently in the works. This will give Kirkman 10 years to figure out a new way to, you know, re-release it in 2030. That's using your brains.
Twitch, home to popular esports streamers and Jackbox parties on Friday nights, is partnering with Radio.com parent Intercom for interactive live streams of sports radio stations in major cities in the U.S.
Finally, radio with pictures!
Popular Radio.com sports stations in Boston, New York, Dallas, Chicago, Atlanta, Detroit live stream through dedicated branded channels on the Twitch platform. VP David Rosenblum said the partnership would introduce traditional sports broadcasting to a new generation of sports fans.
Well, will they be muted or turned off when they play music?
Twitch is the place where people come to connect and engage over their shared interest, and you'll be hard-pressed to find a group of people more passionate than sports fans, Whedon said in a statement. With the addition of sports radio, on-air talent and fans will be able to interact and discuss their favorite athletes, teams, and leagues with one another in real time.
We're going to have to start doing this show live, aren't we?
Whedon added that as with the long-cherished call-in format of talk radio stations, Twitch's users will be able to join in on the conversation using Twitch's chat feature.
Radio folks are used to people screaming stupid things on air, right?
Yeah, we are. The broadcasting partnership arrives at a very uncertain time for sports as COVID-19 is, right? You know, kind of decimated the industry and sports stadiums remain a no-go for the foreseeable future. But radio still has plenty of opportunities to keep fans connected to the teams they love, including with analysis, exclusive interviews, particularly for dedicated fan communities of teams, you know, like the Red Sox or the Yankees. But really, this is all nonsense. There's still plenty of sports still going strong, like spike ball or bog snorkeling or chess boxing. GRD is licensed to Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial Non-Commercial Licensing 3.0. Come check us out on Facebook, on Twitter, stop by the website at GeekRadioData.com. And yeah, every one of those is real. I know because it's the modern time now, and we watched spike ball the other day, which is not slam ball, by the way.
Nope.
And that's something I do truly miss. So that's all kind of great stuff. You know, drop us a note, tell us what's going on in your world, your life, and how we can make things even better than we already are trying to. Just send a note to podcast at geekradiodaily.com, or, you know, send your voice, send the text. All you got to do is use the magic numbers.
510-GRD-CREW.
And Weez will talk all about it.
Well, we have nothing big and flashy to show you this week.
Blah, 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 blah.
Funny, I detect no source of amusement.
Good night, suckers!
All right. Take care now. Bye-bye, then.
She's a disease. I regret my role in spreading it. You will, too.
I think we're done here.
How will it happen?
Cersei had several ideas. Whipping you through the streets and beheading you in front of the Red Keep. Flaying you alive and hanging you from the walls of King's Landing. I talked her out of those.
Will there be pain?
No, I made sure of that.
That's good. I'd hate to die like your son. Clawing at my neck, foam and bile spilling from my mouth, eyes blood red, skin purple. Must have been horrible for you, as a king's guard, as a father. It was horrible enough for me. A shocking scene. Not at all what I intended. You see, I'd never seen the poison work before.